or not an owner's association or a municipal ordinance would allow nightly rental because they're trying to stop them mm-hmm. from doing nightly rental. In which case they will say, well, we're going to do strict construction here and it doesn't prohibit it, so you can in fact. And so a lot of these people are coming in and trying to say, well, that's residential. Well, that's not what that means for tax purposes. That's just saying that it, that your particular statute doesn't prohibit nightly rental. I mean, would you agree with me on that? What we're talking about here really is, like you're focusing on, can it be taxed as commercial?
Right. So for purposes of local zoning ordinance, a property might be classified as residential under a local zoning ordinance. That doesn't mean it's going to hit the residential definition for purposes of property tax.
Fair enough. That's really was my big question.
Yeah. And I suppose by the same reason, you could have something that was classified as commercial for zoning purposes, for agricultural for zoning purposes, and somehow it would fall under the residential classification for property tax purposes.
Okay.
So it's important. Lay people never do this. They tend to mix and match definitions. So they'll take definitions that appear under one category of ordinance or law and try to bring them over to another category of ordinance or law and import those definitions.
And I really don't. If I'm wrong, you let me know because I didn't. I don't think I saw it in your brief either. I don't really see that our courts have made decisions, except maybe the Shipman case, which is, you know, is interesting in and of itself. And I can't, you know, it's hard to apply law from other jurisdictions because their tax structure and how those decisions are made are set up totally different. So I'm having a hard time finding precedent to do those things in here. And I promise I'll get to you. But as far as the case law goes, you would argue Shipman doesn't apply because it was a motel, obviously Marriott, long-term stay, doesn't apply. And because, in other words, the availability question versus this.
Right. I think, one, with regard to the case law that's out there, it's virtually non-existent in Missouri on how nightly rentals are to be treated for property tax purposes.
What about Laughlin versus Forgrave?
Mrs. Chapman, we've asked that you refrain till the very end.
I don't know that one. I think you followed exactly the argument that I was making, David, and I found the same dearth of case law, just as you did.
Uh-huh.
And
do you have more, Mr. Davis?
I'd like to bring the board's attention. I do cite it in my brief also, the Missouri Supreme Court's case on United Airlines, talking about property tax. When the Supreme Court said that when applying tax statutes, we use strict construction. And says, and the Supreme Court writes, in a taxing statute, there must be specific authority or authority necessarily implied for the imposition of a tax upon any particular property. But where any real doubt exists in the construction of a taxing statute, the law requires that it be strictly construed in favor of the taxpayer. So tax laws must be strictly construed, and if the right to tax is not plainly conferred by statute, it will not be extended by implication. What I think happened is when the Missouri legislature drafted its laws on property tax, nobody was thinking about nightly rental. Nightly rental doesn't fit neatly into any of the categories or any of the descriptions that they provide, and it's foreseeable that the Missouri legislature will come under lobbying pressure to change that and to somehow build in nightly rentals into the types of property that pay property tax as non-residential or as commercial. It hasn't happened yet.
And, Tim, we have heard from people that are very passionate on the nightly rental side. Not the hotel people are not... They've given their opinions to us, but they haven't been quite as passionate. But those people, of course, we may at least one of them has been active in the legislature and said that they've tried to do this at least a couple of times and of course, in classic fashion, punted because they couldn't come to some sort of agreement, I guess. So the assessor has said this as well. I just want to know what I'm supposed to do.
That's okay? Reasonable.
So the only way that's probably going to happen is if one of these cases, and it may very well be out of our little county down here, gets appealed, goes through the tax commission, and then potentially the courts. That's the only way I see for the legislature to actually say, oh, crap, we got to do something. That's the only way I think that's going to happen. But I think you've presented it well. I understand the issue. You know, we want to tell you what we tell everybody else that has been in front of us, and that is we don't know yet how we're going to come down on this. I'm not sure. I suppose if we make everybody mad, we probably made a fair decision. I don't know which one we're, you know, how we're going to do it, but we're going to come to a conclusion either in the next couple of days here. But I think that you've laid out a very good argument on behalf of your client. I don't know that I exactly agree, or this board may, with how you're construing some of the statute, but I do understand your argument. And the Supreme Court case that you just cited is relevant, certainly. Now, if the assessor would like to ask some questions, if that's okay,
sure,
the chairman,
absolutely.
Have at it.
Okay. I'm curious, why does Airbnb and VRBO collect taxes then? They are collecting state sales tax on these kind of items.
And Susan, I think he's arguing that they maybe. If the courts or the tax commission were to take his argument, they would probably say they don't have to.
Really?
Well,
I mean, they
probably would.
Well, and as you said, I mean, I'm kind of, in my position, I'm stuck picking the box.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, Article 10 says I have to pick the box. That's what I'm doing. But in this Laughlin versus Forgrave, and I'm getting this from Shipman, it says rooms available for short-term occupancy, the property is entirely disqualified from residential classification. Thus, the property's classification is dependent on whether its facilities are primarily available for short-term occupancy, not on what percentages of use might be ascribed to short-term and extended stay.
May I see that?
So I'm kind of stuck.
May I see that, please?
Yes.
Jim, do you want a site to look at?
No, I follow the argument.
I don't know that I've seen this one. This is the Shipman.
Yeah, it's right there at the top there of that page you're looking at.
So
all I'm trying to do, and I'm not trying to be a jerk on either side, mm-hmm. but for my own office and to make us efficient and to do the job we're supposed to, I have certain parameters I have to fit in. And so if we could settle this, or someone could please sue us so that we can get this settled, it needs to be done because it has to be fair to everyone in the county. And I represent all the taxpayers. I represent your people. I represent the people next door.
And I mean, to that end, I mean, there's a lot of good people on both sides of this issue, and I've had my fair share of disagreements with the assessors. This is a very difficult one to deal with because you have two different cases here. I mean, you have two different arguments. I mean, the best that I can look at, and I think a reasonable mind would look at it to say, this is some type of mixed use. So therefore, why we're looking at hearing everybody, what would be a good mixed-use scenario for our county, I don't know, you go up before a court of law, you might be able to, you know, come down with a ruling in that regard. I had a question that followed up with her question on the collecting of sales tax. So, and you seem to have a little bit of an understanding of it. What's the case on collecting of sales tax for nightly rentals? It is a service. There's no tax on services in the state of Missouri, as far as I know. Why is this different?
Some services are taxed, but not all services are taxed.
Well, certainly a hotel room is taxed.
That's right, a hotel room is taxed.
Okay, so
If I can paraphrase, my understanding is that you're encouraging this board to give a strict construction to the statutes.
Yep.
Because nightly rental is not specifically addressed by a legislature, that therefore it should not be included as a commercial property. That's the strict construction, and the same argument would be for the sales tax provision as well, because it's not specifically listed. So if let's say this were appealed, and he goes, well, the court's going to have to decide, and if they decide that, then they're probably going to say they also don't have to pay sales tax, mm-hmm. which would be interesting.
You're right.
It would be interesting, but that's what he's... In other words, he's making the same argument for the sales tax as the other, but we're not here to deal with sales tax. That's just kind of...
But I've heard the argument throughout this that if they're paying sales tax and that's commercial, which in reading your argument, you said that's circular thinking. If you're paying this, then it leads to that. I have a question just in that regard, because I'm debating it myself, and I know the house that I live in, at one time it was a daycare. So if they had a business I know the business license thing was in there. If a person has a business license, it's commercial. If a house in a residential community is a daycare, are they paying commercial tax on that house?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay. I mean, I don't think that this house ever was. So I just heard that argument. If there's a business license with it,
but they don't charge sales tax
on a daycare. Okay. Well, the business license, I heard that argument, so I was just wondering.
And my other question, I'm sorry to interject.
Yeah, no, please.
Which statute do I fall back to on how it's divided, where you're saying mixed use? Which statute tells me?
No, we'd have to make.
We don't have one.
Right. You can. But what we're talking about is that it can be. Property can be a mixed use, be used for both commercial and residential potentially, if it could. Now, you're going by what he was talking about. We haven't made our decision yet as to what we're going to do yet. Don't know. But if that mixed use comes in there, it probably would be a percentage of the property. So that's what it would be.
And that's where this one comes in and says, I can't do that.
Well,
I don't know.
Does it work? I don't know.
And honestly, coming back around, there's multiple arguments here, because coming back around to the 15%, you know, I mean, 2020, this was a residential property that had some commercial that was taxed at a higher rate based on the number of nights, because we had a fair amount of people, Brad, that you know, that came in, and they would present their numbers, and it was 200 nights, so they got taxed 32% on, you know, the numbers. So, but the classification in this regard, all these properties were residential. They weren't commercial. Right now, we talk to them. I mean, we have a Point Royal condo owner that, you know, is owned since 99. Right now, as it sits, it's commercial. Last year, it's residential. Ever since he's owned it, has been residential. All of these have been raised over 15%. The physical inspection thing is a little bit of a moot point. Some of them probably did, maybe. But, and then you're stating that the burden of proof shifts back over. And then there's another part of that statute that says that defaults, I'll read it, that says if it goes over 15, that and there wasn't a physical inspection, it automatically reverts to the plaintiff isn't the right word, but the person requesting the adjustment.
So the value from last year is what you're talking about.
Yes. And that's state statute.
Yeah, the as I perceive it, the wrench here is the classification. It was the intention, because every time, it would seem to me that almost every time you reclassify something, your rate's going to go up more than 15%.
Here's my issue with this, is nothing changed. You know, everybody bought these, they were residential, nothing changed. And, this is State Statute 13860, which is omitted from your board over here, but I think it's important to note. where it says the assessor shall have the burden to establish the manner in which the physical inspection was performed, or have the burden to prove that the physical inspection was performed in accordance. This is all in context to the 15%.